1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20, Paul writes, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. You say food for the stomach and stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. How do we survive in a sex-saturated society? I look around and there is nowhere that we do not find some evidence of blatant sexuality. Sex has become a commodity and it is big money. And because of that, we find it being pushed upon us in all sorts of ways. We go to a grocery store, we see the magazines in front of us, we turn on the television, we see commercials that promote sex to sell their products that have nothing to do with sex. We look at movies. I mean, I think of all the movies. Think of the Academy Award winner of Black Swan this year. And what intense, I mean, is basically a soft porn film. But we are a people that are having this pushed down our throats, and yet Scripture tells us to live differently, and we don't know how to deal with it. And I want us tonight to consider the great warning that is found in this passage. Flee from sexual immorality. Run for your lives, because this will steal your life from you. This will rob you of your soul. This is a sin against your own body, which is the temple of God. And you are no longer your own, but you are a possession of Jesus Christ. And as possessions of the Lord, we are called to reflect his life. And when we partake of this immoral culture and we draw it into our hearts and into our souls, what we do is we rob the Lord the right over his possession, which is ourselves. I want us to begin tonight by answering a series of questions that might help us have some clarity around the issue of sexual immorality, because as a pastor of an urban church, it's been fascinating to do counseling with so many that have so much confusion around this issue. Culture has been so pervasive that we have redefined what sex is and what it isn't. And so it is that we have justified much that would be considered sexually immoral behavior by following the constraints of society rather than being defined by what Scripture has to say to us. As I often say, we are viewing Scripture through the lens of culture rather than viewing culture through the lens of Scripture. And because of that, we have gotten ourselves all messed up. So what is sexual immorality? How would you define it? How would you define it? Well, the word in the Greek, literally, when it says flee sexual immorality, the word is porneia. It's where we get the root for pornography. And it literally means illicit sexual intercourse. Illicit sexual intercourse. Now, I want to state tonight that I think that we can define it in a broader way by saying any sexual interaction outside of God's good design of marriage between one man and one woman. Any sexual interaction outside of God's good design of marriage between one man and one woman. But I think this is important. Before we can get too deep into the issue of what is sexual immorality, I think it's important that we ask, what is the biblical view of sex? What is the good design? Because too often we have beaten over our heads the negative aspects of what we ought not to do. Let us look at what God has to say about sex. We have to remember that sex is not so much something that we do, but it is something that we are. When we engage in sex, we are joining our souls to another. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 6:16, what does it say? Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? Al Mohler, in his book, Desire Deceit, says this. He says, God made us sexual beings and put that drive within us in order to drive us toward marriage and all the goods that are united in the marriage union. God has put the sexual drive within us to drive us toward marriage, that we might experience all the good that comes out of that union. In fact, sex is a part of God's good creation by which procreation can occur and intimacy experienced within the marriage covenant. If you look back with me at Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, we see clearly that this is a part of God's good design. It is something that we are not to be ashamed of, but something to celebrate when it is used properly. Genesis 2:24, the classic words in Scripture in regards to marriage. And that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. It's amazing because Jesus confirms God's good design in Matthew 19:5, quoting this very verse. We can safely say, in accordance with Scripture, that sex is only safe within the boundaries of marriage. It's like fire in a fireplace. I was thinking about that sex has the power to be something so beautiful, so good, so healthy, and at the same time has the power to be so destructive, so damaging when it is used outside of the parameters of what God designed it for. I think that it is important for us to understand that the reason that God created the marriage covenant is that he wanted to give to us an illustration, a visible picture of what the invisible union looks like with him. That sex itself, the two becoming one flesh, intimacy within a marriage, is to be an expression of that mystical union that we have with Christ. It is holy, it is good within the marriage. The marriage union itself is to be a visible picture of our union with God. God has given us marriage as a covenant, a lifelong commitment to one person in which the two become one. And we make this covenant and we have the ability to express the very reality of a triune God, and that our God is relational, and that our God is mysteriously triune, but he is one. And so God has given us that same sort of expression within marriage, and sexuality practiced within marriage becomes a beautiful picture of the intimacy between a man and a woman and the intimacy that we can have between ourselves and God. But when sex is used outside of its proper context, what happens is it destroys that mystical picture and it perverts what God intended it for, and it leaves nothing but a painful path of destruction. As fire in a fireplace brings warmth to a house, fire outside of the fireplace does what? It burns the house down. And this is what we have to understand, that sex can either be creative or destructive. It can either bring life or it can bring death. It is good to note that it is much more than simply intercourse, but within marriage, the emotional cannot be disconnected from the physical. It is mutual self-giving. I think it was Richard Foster that said, sex at its best is play. It is the beautiful ability that a man and a woman within the confines of marriage have the ability to explore and understand one another in ways that no one else can. It is a powerful expression of what God intended to give us as a picture of our union with him. Al Mohler goes on to say that the sex drive, which should point to fidelity, covenantal commitment, procreation and the wonder of a one-flesh relationship. Instead, this drive has been degraded into a passion that robs God of his glory, celebrates the sensual at the expense of the spiritual, and sets what God had intended for good on a path that leads to destruction in the name of personal fulfillment. That is a painful description of what we see all around us today. So how important is this issue to God? How important is this issue to God? I think that if we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 8, we can see just how important this issue is. Listen to this passage. Paul writes, "It is God's will that you be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit." Can we say that sexual sin is more serious than other sins? Well, according to Scripture, it is. And the passage that we read in 1 Corinthians 6 says that this is a sin against our own body, which is the temple of God. It says, this is the will of God, that you be sanctified, that you be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that you have been set apart for divine and holy purposes, that God wants to use you and I as vessels to express his glory. And when we begin to act outside of his will, what we are doing is we are making ourselves God. And what happens when we make ourselves God, instead of bringing the life-giving reality of the gospel to the world around us, we begin living in a self-centered way that brings destruction and death, not only to ourselves, but to the people whom we engage in relationships with. In fact, this is the issue with sexual immorality, is that it leads to self-destructive behavior. And it leads to a path that brings destruction not only into your life, but into the person that you're engaging in that behavior with. It is robbing you of your soul. If you belong to Christ, then the sin against his home, this is a sin against his home, against his possession. If you belong to him, then we have to remember that every time we engage in sexually immoral behavior, we are literally subjecting the Holy Spirit himself to what it is that you're doing. This is a heavy, heavy subject, not one that brings about a lot of smiles or laughs. And yet, this is what society sells us. Our comedies are sex-saturated. Our dramas are sex-saturated. Our thrillers are sex-saturated. Our horror films are sex-saturated. Our music is sex-saturated. I mean, literally, Darcy and I were driving up Division just yesterday, and this guy pulls up in this really big truck, and he's just blaring. My kids are in the backseat, and he's just blaring like this really intense sexual rap song. And then all of a sudden, I look over, and he looks at me, and he, with the rapper at the same time, goes, "Oh, yeah, baby." And I was just like, did he just say that? And then Henry goes, "Daddy, what did he say?" I'm like, "I don't know, son. Let's just keep going." And he goes, "It sounded inappropriate." It was inappropriate. Listen, sexual immorality devastates our Lord because it robs us of his good intent. We are working against his design. So what is at the root of sexual immorality? I think that we have to consider this question, and it's one that I've thought about much. And believe me, you guys, I have been so disturbed. It's almost difficult for me to preach this message because I've been doing so much reading on, I've been reading this book for the last couple weeks called The Empire of Illusion, and I read a chapter by an atheist writer entitled The Illusion of Love, and it's basically his scathing commentary as an atheist on the pornographic industry. But it was so descriptive, just why he saw this as so destructive, and just interviews and dialogue about what goes on in the industry. I was literally sick to my stomach by the end of the chapter. But I think that it would be safe to say that what is at the root of this behavior obviously is sin, but we can take it even to deeper clarity when we can say the word lust. When we compare lust to love, it's a pretty interesting. Lust is the desire to possess something for your selfish ends, where love is the willing to give self for the good of the other. But 1 John 2:17 says, "And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." Listen to this guy. This is a secular philosopher named Simon Blackburn, and he tries to promote lust as something that is natural to human behavior. And the word lust is desire, and desire is good, but desire has to be brought under the control of the Holy Spirit. But when we think of lust in the terms that is damaging, I think that Blackburn is right when he says, lust is the inbred, trashy cousin of the upstanding members like friendship and love. Lust is the inbred, trashy cousin of upstanding members like friendship and love. He says, love pursues the good of the other with self-control, concern, reason, and patience. Lust pursues its own gratification, headlong, impatient of any control, immune to reason. You see, he says, and I agree with this fully, although then he goes on to promote it, that living with lust is like living shackled to a lunatic. Living with lust is like living shackled to a lunatic. Lust is going outside of God's guidelines to find satisfaction. I think that the person who uses the sex drive as an engine for lust and self-gratification are literally spitting in the face of God and his intent for their lives. So what is the outcome of a society that embraces and sells sex as a commodity? I think that we live in what I would call a pornographic society. I was thinking about this because pornography, I want you guys to know this is so disturbing, but pornography in America is a $10 billion industry. $10 billion. Do you know who the two main companies that profit from pornography are? GM and AT&T. Did you know that? GM owns I think it's Direct Television, and AT&T with its broadband connect is something like 40,000 hits of pay-per-view pornography a day or some insane number. But 80% of the profits from pornography are going to these two major companies. Many of you have AT&T. I mean, we as a church use AT&T as our provider, and I printed off this whole page from Empire of Illusion on there, and we're going to go in and say, we're not going to use you because of this issue. But I was thinking, how deep is this issue for us as a body of believers? Because some of you guys right now are already squirming in your seats because you know that this is a massive issue in your own life. And the pornography issue is an epidemic amongst young men. Do you know that the majority of porn users are between the ages of 12 and 17? 12 and 17. The body is a temple of God. Brainwashing is what is occurring to our young men in our country. And you know what happens is that this brainwashing is the same kind of brainwashing. I was talking to a friend, Wes, who is a missionary in the Sudan, and he deals with kids who are brought into what's called the Lord's Resistance Army, the LRA. And this is a brutal guerrilla group that basically take kids and they brainwash them by having them kill their own families at a young age. And these kids are brutal killers. If you've ever seen that movie Blood Diamond, you'll see a very accurate depiction of these kids that are consistently subjected to murder from a very early age. That by the time they get out of this life, they are so dead, their souls are so dead that they're like looking into the eyes of a zombie. And Wes told me of a particular girl who was 12 years old who was forced to kill her own family with a machete. And the guilt and the death that had brought to her soul, it made a deadening in her eyes. But you guys, we think, oh my gosh, that is horrific. But parents, some of your kids are doing that same thing to their souls with pornography. Same thing. Many of you guys have viewed so much pornography in this room that you will never look at a woman the same again. Because your idea of what a woman is to be is defined by a false idea, an illusion that is degrading and destructive. And I found it pathetic that here I'm reading a book by an atheist who is outraged by pornography, and so many Christian men who have Christ and the Holy Spirit within them are not outraged by their own addiction. And I think it is deadly. Pornography is so disturbing because it allows gratification without responsibility, expectation, or demand upon the individual engaged. It promotes solitary auto-arousal that precludes intimacy and love. Pornography is about getting yourself off at someone else's expense. That's what it is. I think that the whole industry is based on the conversion of women into objects. And it is a sad, sad reality. You know that fewer and fewer men are getting married younger. And I believe it is because they have been so twisted up by pornography that they don't need a partner because they can have the women on the screen that demand nothing of them. They don't have to bathe. They don't have to care about their hygiene. They don't have to care about gathering the respect of a wife because they have this false, fabricated fantasy that they are living in. And it has destroyed their ability to have intimacy. It has deadened them. Just like these kids that are forced to kill, I think that young men, we are raising up a whole generation of young men that are being destroyed by this. It has to be talked about. You guys, I am shocked at how many of you young couples that we are talking with that are engaging in sexual activity before you're married. Girls, you're sitting next to your boyfriend tonight and you're sleeping with him. And he's probably looking at pornography. And you are viewed as a commodity. Men, how could you treat your sister like this? It is evil, and it has to be put away. And we can say that it is in the name of love and that we have the right. And who is he to tell me what I am to do? I am not telling you anything except what Scripture has to say. It says, flee from sexual immorality. That is any sort of sexual activity outside of the boundaries of marriage. Listen, I know the deadly impacts of what it means to be a sexually immoral human being because I did not come to know Christ until I was 28 years old. My wife and I lived lives that were outside of what God would have intended for us, and we had to carry into our marriage a lot of baggage that God, by his grace, helped us work through. But we went through a lot of relationships and a lot of regrets, and those don't go anywhere. And God can make all things new and bring sanctification to our lives, but it has to begin by walking in obedience. I was reading the excerpts of this woman, Shelley Lubin. She is an ex-porn star. She got radically saved. She's the founder of a really pretty amazing ministry called the Pink Cross, which basically is a ministry that ministers to women in the porn industry, trying to get them out by sharing with them the gospel. And she said this. She said, porn is like any other addiction. First, you are curious. Then you need harder and harder drugs to get off. Porn destroys intimacy. Destroys it. And she talks about how increasingly women in pornography are not people having sex, but bodies which sexual activities of increasing cruelty are played out. The industry has focused on greater male control and domination, descending into physical and psychological degradation. And this is the thing, guys, is that in the 70s and 80s, pornography was about some bad B-rated movie, and they had scripts and actors. And now, pornography is so dark and depraved that the primary pornography that is hit on websites is a pornography called Gonzo, which there is no acting, there's no script, it's just straight up degradation of women, physically abusive and damaging. And this is what some of you are looking at in this room right now. And this is what I want you to know, that for all of you who are feeding on this, you are promoting not only the destruction of your own souls, but you have unwittingly become accomplices to the sexual violence and degradation of our culture against women and children. That's what I think. That's what I believe with all of my heart. Because that is the natural outcome of sin. The more you feed the lustful reality of your black and sinful heart, and we all have sinful hearts. The heart is wicked and deceitful above all things and not to be trusted. But when we feed the lust of the flesh, it is never satisfied. Therefore, it by nature gets darker and darker and darker and darker. And here is what you guys need to know, is that before the collapse of every great society, there is always sexual perversion rising up to the brim, overflowing. And we have to purify our lives. You guys, I was so deeply convicted this week because I'm not a man who struggles with pornography, but I'm definitely a guy who watches a lot of movies that portray a lot of sexual activity. And I'll say, well, that's high art. I mean, these people are winning Academy Awards. These are good films. I mean, we subject ourselves to all television that is promoting all sorts of immoral sexual activity. Maybe we should be a people that come back to the tagline, kill your TV. I wonder what it is that would get our attention, that would say, wake up, that we have fallen asleep. And I felt like the Lord, I think I even began this message tonight nervous because there is a conviction in my own heart that I am not living up to the holy standard that God would have for me if I want to be a man that truly sees awakening and revival in our city. Because I think I subject myself to much that would be called questionable, all in the sake of high art. I'm like, oh, pornography is low art. It's not art, it's criminal. But it's high art that is consistently portraying men and women in activities that we know is damaging to the soul. Is that considered high art? And we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing? What are we doing? Am I challenging your liberties right now? What does Paul begin with in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12? I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. You see, we are free to choose, but we are not free to choose the outcome of our choices. Yes, you have liberty in Christ. You say, I have the liberty to do what I want. I am covered by grace. Let us not use grace as an excuse to sin. I want you guys to experience the liberty that Christ has to bring. And if God created sex to be enjoyed within the confines of marriage, that sexual intimacy is a beautiful thing when it is experienced within a marriage. And if God created it that way, then I guarantee that is the best way to experience it. And if God's deep desire for you is not to be a cosmic killjoy to tell you that you can't do this or that, because anyone who is engaged in these activities knows that the pleasure that is for a moment only leads to the despair that continues for a lifetime. If God's design for you is to give you life and to give it to you abundantly, why would you listen to the lies of the world that is only leaving you empty? Why are we engaged in these things? Why? Why? And I look around and I know that this church is filled with young singles. And I know that many of you are fighting against the very word of God tonight. You are fighting against your creator. And we are told in 1 Thessalonians that judgment will come upon this sort of lifestyle. We don't think we can just get away with whatever we want. We were created by God and for God. And when you act outside of what God created you for, you are robbing him of his glory. And we can't think that that does not anger our Lord. It angers him because he loves you so much. It angers him because he sees the damage that the sin brings to your life. It's like watching your own child. I mean, I can imagine watching my child be taken advantage of by a world system and give in to the lies of the world and not be crushed by that and furious with that. And I think of the damage that is around all around us and how God looks upon us with a broken heart of a father who's saying, why are you doing this to yourselves? Why are you doing this? I created you for my glory, and I am glorified when you are experiencing life and experiencing it in abundance. Many of you are not experiencing the life of Christ, and Christ is not a reality because you are failing miserable in this particular area. And this is one of two sins in Scripture that we are told to run, run, rabbit, run. We are being destroyed by the lies of a culture that is telling us that we can do whatever we want whenever we want to. And we have redefined sex. Well, I'm not having sex, you know, I'm just having oral sex. Really? What about that is not sex? I mean, honestly, how is it that we are redefining our terms? How is it that we can sit in church, go to church week after week and open up our Bibles and continue to live in a way that violates the very heart of God? Some of you are married and you're engaged in lustful things. You're looking at pornography, guys, and your wife, and you can't figure out why there's dysfunction in your marriage. Why? Why are we falling into these trappings? You guys, my heart breaks for our society. And it is being destroyed by this lie. Sexual liberation has not brought any good to our country. So I want to ask you guys tonight, how do we change? How do we change? I think first and foremost, we have to fix it in our mind that sex will work in no way except God's way. We have to fix it. Every battle is won or lost in the mind. And we have to fix in our mind that sex will work in no way except God's way. It is His good design. Keep it within His boundaries. Are you willing to accept God's word in regards to sexuality? Are you willing to say God's way must be the best way because He is good and perfect and holy and He loves me with an everlasting love? It is the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. Are we willing to accept that God's way is best for us? Why would we not believe that? If you can't believe that God's way is the best way, why would you believe in God at all? Our faith in Christ is a faith that Christ has the ability to save us out of the lies of this world, to save us from our brokenness, to save us from our sinfulness, and bring us into the truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to truth and the way to life. And we have to fix in our minds that His way is going to be the only way that we ought to go. Secondly, we need to surrender our sex lives to God to be worked out in His way. Because this is the issue, is that we have made secondary things ultimate things. We have made sex ultimate in our culture, and in doing so, it has become a god, which we are going to consider idolatry and the illusion of idolatry next week. But really, sex is a type of idolatry. And we have elevated it to a place that is above God. In many of your own lives, sex has become supreme over your relationship with God. And because of that, it is all distorted and perverted and twisted up. But we have to surrender our sex drive, our desire. We have to surrender it all to God and say, Lord, You work it out in Your way that it would bring You honor. Love Him centrally, and all lesser loves will be sanctified. C.S. Lewis says, Eros ceases to be a devil only when it ceases to be a god. Eros ceases to be a devil only when it ceases to be a god. You guys, I know this is a heavy message, and you may feel like I'm just yelling at you. And listen, if this isn't a struggle for you and you're living a life of purity, then you sit confident in your seat tonight. But if this message is directed to you, and you know that you're one of those who is collapsed in this. Girls, you are giving yourself away. Guys, you are taking advantage of your sister. Pornography is an issue. Whatever it might be, I'm challenging you. I'm speaking this to you. And I pray that the Spirit is deeply convicting you, that you would turn, repent, and be transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. You belong to Him. You are not your own. Man was made to live in union with God so that all his limitation might find its complement in the unlimited life of the eternal. We were made to live in union with God so that all of our limitations might find its complement in his unlimited life. I want you guys tonight to remember these words closing in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. I'm asking you tonight, are you honoring God with your body? It matters, and it matters deeply. Are you honoring God with your body? Are you giving yourself over to the lies of this culture? Are you ready to say, no, I'm not happy living like this. I'm not going to continue to live like this. This is breaking my heart, and it's breaking my God's heart. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't even know Christ, and you've never even come to terms with the gospel. You have to understand that Christ came to set us free from the life of sin. We have to remind ourselves, preach the gospel to ourselves daily, for it is the gospel that at the center of life that brings meaning to life and brings balance and equilibrium to the ways that we live. When we recognize that it is only Christ living in us, when we will begin to experience the victory of over the lies of this world. I want us to be a people that are emboldened to live fully for Jesus Christ. And we can't live fully for Jesus Christ if we are constantly walking around burdened with shame. Are you set free? Do you want to be set free tonight? Have you given your life over to this lie? Listen, guys, flee. Flee perversion. Flee sexual immorality. Lay it down at the foot of the cross tonight. Get right with Jesus. If you haven't put your faith in him, trust in him, cry out to him, say, Lord, save me from myself. And I would ask you guys tonight, may we be a church that is purified. Put away sexual immorality. It is God's will that you be sanctified. I want us to experience the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And there is no joy in anything other than bringing him pleasure with our lives. Amen. Let's pray.